Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning, everyone. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. The Japan earthquake and Pacific Ocean tsunami is the focus of worldwide concern at this hour. The tsunami is expected to hit the Oregon coast in about 15 minutes, Southern California in about an hour and 15. We will cover it on and off throughout the morning and also talk about other things. We have David Brooks later this hour and more, but we'll stay right on top of the quake and tsunami as events warrant. With us first for a few minutes right now is Gregory Barroza. He's professor and associate chair for graduate studies at the Earthquake Seismology Group at Stanford University. Professor Barroza, thank you so much for coming on with us on short notice today. Hello from New York.
Yeah, my pleasure.
First, about the quake itself in Japan, 8.9 on the Richter scale. I believe that's the strongest quake ever measured in Japan. Is that true?
That's correct. So the previous to this, the largest, well, first of all, we've only been able to measure instrumentally the size of earthquakes for the past 120 years. So during that period, this is by far the largest earthquake that has hit Japan. And it's, as far as we can tell, it's the largest earthquake that has hit Japan in at least 300 years.
Why would that happen now?
You mean why would a particularly big one happen now?
Correct.
No particular reason. The place where this earthquake happened is where the Pacific plate is colliding with the Eurasian plate. It's happening at quite a high rate of speed geologically, something like 8 centimeters or a little over 3 inches per year. So that plate boundary slip has to be accommodated eventually. It just happened to happen earlier today.
I read that seismologists have been surprised by the magnitude of this quake in Japan. Are you surprised?
A bit surprised. There's evidence. First of all, there have been many magnitude 7 to 8 earthquakes over the past century or two in this region, so we know it's a quite active area. But today's earthquake is much, much larger. The difference between a magnitude 8 and a magnitude 8.9 is something like close to a factor of 20 in terms of the energy release. So some seismologists recognize that this was possible, but I would say they're in the minority.
You're in Stanford, at Stanford University in Northern California. How far from the ocean are you?
We're in good shape as far as the tsunami goes. We're over 100 feet above sea level, and we are on San Francisco Bay rather than on the open ocean. So there's nothing to worry about here.
What do you think about the West Coast in general? You know, as devastating as this is in Japan, I don't want to sensationalize this for the United States. Could this be pretty much a non-event here? We just heard a report from Hawaii, which seemed to indicate that the waves, at least the first wave of waves, hit, and it was nothing much.
Yeah, so it's too soon to tell. So in Hawaii, the reports that I've read have the maximum wave height at Hilo at something like 3.5 feet. That doesn't sound like much, but that's very dangerous. The currents in tsunamis are high, even if the amplitude is not that large. And tsunamis are not just a single wave. They're a series of waves, and very often the second or third in the wave train is the largest. So people have been killed because they've assumed that tsunamis are done after one wave, and I wouldn't want to sound the all clear even after the first wave hits.
Do you think that the people of Northern California and Oregon, where it's expected to hit in just a few minutes, have anything to worry about? Again, the NPR newscast we just heard seemed to downplay the likely impact on the California coast, even though a tsunami warning is officially up along the whole U.S. West Coast.
Right. So we know very well when the waves will hit. That's something we can predict once we know the time of the earthquake. It depends on the depth of the ocean, which we know quite well. So, for example, in San Francisco, we're expecting the wave to hit at 8:08. So within a few minutes, that's when the wave is going to hit.
8:08 your time would be about 11:08 New York time, so in just about an hour, actually,
that's
right?
That's correct. Just under an hour, it will be hitting the first arrival of the wave. We'll be hitting San Francisco, but it'll be a train of waves, we expect. And, The authority on this is NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. So they're the ones who are gathering the data, issuing the warnings. And they still have a tsunami warning out for this part of the West Coast. So I would urge people to respect tsunamis. Don't go down to the ocean. Don't try to surf this thing. It's not the same as a wind-driven wave. It's not, you know, the difference between the distance or the time between the peak and the crest of the wave is going to be 20 minutes rather than 20 seconds. So you can't. The ocean sort of just keeps coming when it's coming in. It's also true that as often as not, the first arrival in a tsunami will be a withdrawal of water rather than an onrush of water. So if you're at the ocean and the level starts dropping rapidly, that's a warning to get out of there.
Well, we will keep covering this throughout the morning, as I said. And Dr. Burrows, I know we'll be speaking to you again later in the hour. So thanks so much for standing by for us.
My pleasure. And we'll have more information next time we talk.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. When we continue in just a minute, we'll play some extended excerpts from Peter King's hearing yesterday on homegrown terrorism and find out if anybody actually learned anything or if it was all political theater. Stay with us. WNYC. On the next Leonard Lopate Show, by the way, find out how a trove of banned Soviet art was hidden in plain sight in Uzbekistan for decades. Plus, Juliette Binoche discusses her role in the new film, Certified Copy, today at noon on 93.9 FM and AM 820 WNYC. We have David Brooks standing by in just a minute. I just want to go back briefly to Gregory Barroza, professor and associate chair for graduate studies at the Earthquake Seismology Group at Stanford University, and, of course, the Japan earthquake and Pacific Ocean tsunami that hit this morning is absolutely devastating for Japan. Hundreds of people known dead, fires, floods, all kinds of things taking place in certain parts of that country in particular. And the tsunami that resulted from the earthquake was coming ashore in Oregon in the United States as of a short time ago. But Professor Barroza, I don't know if you're getting any reports about that. There's nothing that I've seen so far that indicates that it's a big threat to the Oregon coast at this moment.
Yes, I've been monitoring the NOAA website, and they say they will update as conditions warrant, and they haven't updated it. So I assume that it's more or less what they expected, which is something like a meter or so that is a little over 3 feet in amplitude. But I want to emphasize that the wave is not just a single wave. It's a series of waves, and we don't yet know what the largest of them will be.
And then
largest amplitude in Hawaii was something like a little under 6 feet. So,
and I expect, we are told to expect, that the first of the waves will hit Southern California in about 45 minutes from now, so we'll be watching that too. But so far, as you say, it has begun to hit Hawaii and without much damage being reported at all. I just want to ask you one thing about Japan.
Sure.
I heard that there's a lot of concern in Japan over some petrochemical plants and at least one nuclear power plant, which I think had reported a fire. What's your understanding of the preparedness level for this kind of thing?
Yeah, so the preparedness level in Japan is extremely good. They unfortunately have many, many earthquakes, so they get a lot of practice. In 2007, there was a nuclear power plant complex on the Japan seaside of Honshu that took a direct hit from a magnitude 6.7 earthquake. And, you know, they had, I think, a transformer fire or something like that. But basically, the reactor core was just fine. It's too soon to know what's going on with the reactor complex that was hit by this earthquake. I have heard just from the news reports, same sources you have, that there was a fire in a turbine room. But again, that's just a preliminary report.
And I know they are saying no release of radioactivity as of this time. All right, Gregory Barroza, professor and associate chair for graduate studies at the Earthquake Seismology Group at Stanford University. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll continue to follow earthquake and tsunami developments throughout the program.